Thank you, choir. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. I am currently serving at Salem Covenant Church as a part-time visitation pastor. And I grew up, as you see in the biography in the bulletin, I grew up at First Covenant Church in St. Paul, where Norbert Johnson was my pastor from about the age of 11 through my high school and college years. And Norbert, of course, is the father of your pastor, Tim Johnson. So I've known Tim for a long time, his brother Don, his sister Carolyn, and his father Norbert was really a big influence on my life. In my high school and college years, Norbert would sometimes take me to visit senior retirement communities when he was making his visits. Norbert was a big influence on my call to ministry. And actually, the last 12 years of ministry, I was at Covenant Village in Golden Valley, a senior retirement community. So Norbert had a big influence on me and my call. Privileged to be here with you and to share this morning service. As we read the scripture about the Good Shepherd, as we heard the wonderful children's time that Peggy did for us this morning, the words in John talk about a wolf coming, attacking and scattering. One of the dangers that Peggy talked about, falling off the cliff, or the wild animals that come. The wolf came to attack and scatter. What happens to us when those difficult times come? What gets us through? Always being happy? Always having the good things we think we deserve? Always progressing, moving forward? Sometimes bad things happen to good people, as Rabbi Kushner had written so many years ago. Sometimes those bad things happen and we don't have easy answers for why. Sometimes life is not fair. Sometimes no matter how much respect we have or how hard we work, we are not rewarded. What do we do then? When I was in high school, I played for my high school hockey team on the east side of St. Paul. That had been a goal of mine since I was a little boy. Matter of fact, most of the boys in my neighborhood, that was our goal, to play on that high school hockey team at Johnson High School. We practiced, we played on teams all through the year. We played pickup games whenever we could. But then when summer came, there weren't as many outdoor rinks, or there weren't as many indoor rinks as there are today. The outdoor ice melted. So we moved down to the basement, and there we took shots off the basement floor against my dad's wall until it was black with the hockey pucks bouncing off. We practiced and practiced. My sophomore year, I was on the junior varsity team and had a pretty good year. My junior year, I played during the season, but when the state tournament came, and our team did qualify for the state tournament, in those days, the roster was cut from 17 players down to 15. Well, I was one of those two players that was cut from the team for the state tournament, and I had to watch from the stands. But the next year I would be a senior. That would be my year. And so I ran cross country in the fall to get in shape for the upcoming season. And finally practice started. And then the day came when the coach called a special meeting. He said, "Tomorrow after school I will post the names of all of those who make the team for the coming year." Well, that was the longest school day I can ever remember. After school, all my friends gathered around the door at the coach's social studies classroom, and my name was not there. I was devastated. I thought, being a high school student, my world had come to an end. Sometimes life is not fair. Sometimes, no matter how hard we work, how much respect we have, we are not rewarded. What do we do then? Many of you know about difficult times. As Bruce shared in the prayer, reading of so many concerns and needs in this congregation. People facing illness, disease, loss of loved ones, even the loss of a young child. Many of you know the difficulties of life. Those times when no matter how much respect you have, how hard you work, you are not rewarded. What will get you through then? And again, as Psalm 23 was read, the Lord is my shepherd, we lack nothing. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David tells us in the psalm, we need fear no evil, for God is with us. There was a young girl, her name was Alicia Lipke. She went to Irondale High School in the Moundsview School District. My daughters were 3 years apart, and Alicia was right between them in age, so she wasn't in their class, but they knew her well. Alicia was a cheerleader, a popular girl, a good student, came from a good family. She seemed to have everything going for her. So why did she take her own life? We will never know. But I still wonder, did she think that she had to do it on her own? Did she put too much pressure on herself to succeed, to be popular, to be good at everything? What happens when we feel, no matter how hard we work, how much we try, our efforts are not enough? Do we become bitter? Do we become frustrated? Or even despair that life is worth living? Or are we open to the promise that David knew as he wrote that psalm? Even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Many of you have known dark days. Again, as Bruce prayed this morning, gloomy days when storms come into our lives, the difficulties that we all face. You know what it is to struggle. Dark valleys that are difficult, if not impossible, to walk alone. And those dark valleys have no shortcuts. You can't just simply skip through. You can't ignore them or pretend they are not real. Dark valleys are difficult, if not impossible, to walk alone. This is the spring season. We have celebrated Easter recently. And when the risen Christ encounters someone in forgiveness and grace and acceptance, that person's life is forever changed. Albert Race Sample tells a story of being encountered by God's love in the book Racehorse, Big Emma's Boy. Albert grew up in a violent home and was a repeat offender in the Texas prison system. The boy was terribly damaged by his upbringing and by the system of prisons. But he learned survival skills in an environment of brutality almost beyond comprehension. Then came the day when, in the darkness of solitary confinement, he experienced God's loving presence. Here's how he tells the story. The slamming of the two steel doors still rang in my ears. Sitting naked on a slab in pitch dark silence, I hung my head as the tears bounded off the floor onto my feet. Sweat poured. Gritting my teeth, I hugged and rocked myself, trying to squeeze my head against the unyielding concrete. I mauled myself, scratching and tearing my body. Slumped, exhausted on the slab, I covered my face with both hands and cried out, "Help me! God, help me!" a ray of light between my fingers. Slowly uncovering my face, the whole cell was illuminated like a 40-watt bulb. The soft light soothed, and I no longer was afraid, engulfed by a presence. I felt it reassuring me. No pressure anymore. I breathed freely. I had never felt such well-being, so good in all my life, safe, loved. And the voice within talked through the pit of my belly, "Don't you worry about a thing, but you must tell them about me." I lay back on the slab. A change had taken place. Never before had I felt so totally loved. That's really all I ever wanted, the biggest need in my life, fulfilled in an instant. And I loved that presence back. That is why we are here today, to tell the story and to support one another. Albert Ray Sample discovered, even in that solitary cell, he was not alone. And that is what I want to remind you of, the one who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil. Even if I get cut from the hockey team, even if the pressure of life seems more than I can bear, even if dark valleys come and I just can't understand, I will fear no evil. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not come for the sheep. So when the sheep see the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." It is interesting as we read this passage that Jesus is asked a question by the religious authorities, the Pharisees, the religious people. People who want him to say once and for all that he is the Messiah. They don't want to look at what he has done. They don't want to open their eyes to the evidence all around them. They just want him to say it plainly. Either he is or he is not the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus said, "I have told you, and yet you do not believe." And then he said, "My sheep know me, and they will follow me." Now, why is it that learned religious leaders will not believe him or follow him, but a bunch of sheep will? Now, as Peggy talked about the sheep this morning, I have to admit that I don't know very much about sheep, having grown up in the city. To me, they do kind of all look alike. Little lambs are very playful, but the adult sheep, they just seem to eat and baa. That seems a little dull to me. Now, I've heard and I've read that sheep aren't very smart, they lack initiative, and they are likely to entangle themselves in brush and fences. A sheep needs a shepherd, as Peggy reminded us, to guide it and to care for it. Not a very pretty picture. How many of you, when growing up, have ever had one of your parents say, "I want you to grow up to be just like a sheep"? How many parents have said, "I don't want you to be too clever or too creative or to develop your own individual style. I just want you to aim for mediocrity and try to blend into the crowd"? There's no such thing as an independent, self-made sheep they need a shepherd. And some of those religious leaders that Jesus faced, seemed to think that they could make it on their own. They did not need a shepherd. Remember Jesse Ventura, who was the governor of our state some years ago. I remember Jesse talking about religion and saying that religion was simply a crutch for those who are weak. And wouldn't it be good to be able to answer Jesse and say, that's right. We are all weak. We do need a crutch. And even Jesse in his arrogance will one day come upon that weakness in his life. There are many today who still think that they can make it on their own, too proud to admit that they need help. And I wonder if Alicia Lipke felt that way. If that was the pressure she put upon herself before she took her own life. Having to do it all on her own. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. Remember, if you feel like you are going it alone, we are here for you, your friends, your family, your church family. And even if we all fail you, there is one who will not fail you, no matter what. One that no power on earth can take from you. There is one who sees each one of us as worthy of his care and attention, and he loves you with an eternal love. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, for you, and for me. Amen.